Okay, we'll start on the Mishnah on Lamed Tera Amud Aleph. It's a new sugya. Now we can talk about cutting the hair, which the Mishnah discusses now, which we haven't discussed before. What's the restriction against cutting the hair for the Nazir? How and in what time frame? So Stam Nazirut Lamed Yom. So Stam Nazirut is 30 days. That's no chilish. We've already had that right in the first parak, that we know that Stam Nazirut Lamed Yom. The reason it's repeated here has to do with the next statement of the Mishnah, which is Gileach, Osha Gilchu Listim, Soter Lamed Yom. If he cut his hair, or he was forcibly had his hair cut, then he's Soter Lamed Yom. He undermines 30 days. What does it mean? What does it mean 30 days, or why 30 days? It's because, in order to, because the Stam Nazirut is Lamed Yom, right, then in order to qualify to have hair that is ro'i to be cut at the end of the Nazirut, one has to wait 30 days to have such hair. So now, based on this, you would suggest that depending on whether it's a Nazir Meruba or a Nazir Mu'etet, right, so then if he is just a 30-day Nazirut, right, and then he has his hair cut, or he cuts his hair, his hair is cut, then we say he has to repeat, basically, the whole Nazirut. Whereas possibly when he has a longer Nazirut, right, this is a possibility, I'm not just the only one, but the possibility is that in a longer Nazirut, like of 60 days, say for instance on the 30th day of his Nazirut, he cuts his hair or someone else cuts his hair, maybe that he won't have to do anything in additional, meaning because he has 30 days remaining in his Nazirut, and those 3 days remaining in his Nazirut, right, will be sufficient to create the length of hair that is considered kadosh. And therefore, he can just continue with his Nazirut. Tosus brings both possibilities. It brings the possibility that this is 30 days, means it's only talking in a case the last day. One possibility Tosus suggests is that he got his hair cut, or he cut his hair on the last day of the Nazirut, and that's why he only requires 30 days. That's Yom Melot. And Tosus brings the second possibility, no, that 30 days is even in the middle of a Nazirut. If he gets his hair cut in the middle of his Nazirut, if there's 30 days left in his Nazirut, then he doesn't have to do anything. If less than 30 days, he needs the 30 days to gain the hair length that'll be ro'ui to be cut at the end of his Nazirut. So if he's in a 60-day Nazirut, his hair is cut at the 30th day, he has 30 days remaining, that's enough. He doesn't have to do anything special. On the other hand, if he's in a 60-day Nazirut and he reaches the 50th day, he'll have to wait an additional 30 days, 20 days beyond his Nazirut, in order to gain the 30 days that he needs to have his hair be long enough.
What if he only gets a trim?
All right, so we're going to discuss that. What is considered cutting? That's a good question. That's a nice question. All right, Nazir, Shigileach, Ben Bezuk, Ben Betar, got to cut whether with scissors, whether with a razor, O Shisifseif Koshu Chayav. Now, what is Shisifseif Koshu Chayav? So, where the Parish learns is, Mesifseif Koshu is Shetalash Ksat, Verosha Seyar. Means exactly what you're asking to eat. He snips a little end of the hair. A little end of the hair. Tosus wasn't willing to accept that. That's exactly, Tosus says exactly that. Alright, just Sifseif Koshu, although the word Talash here, right? But it over there it says Barosha Seyar, so it's very hard to argue that he's plucking it out. But Tosus does learn like you. He says Peres Tol Koshu, Afilu Serachat, even one hair he plucks out, like what you're suggesting, so Okir Mi'i Karo. So Tosus believes that that simply snipping the hair at the end, that is not sufficient. You need either a tar, a razor, scissors, or a plucking out of one hair. That is what will give you Malkus. Whereas the Farsh believes even if you just snip the ends of the hair, it sounds like it would be Chayav. And we're going to see in the latter half of today's daf that because of their difference here, they also explain the Gemara differently later on. Okay, so now the Gemara asks, a little fun Gemara here, Ibailu, Hai Mazio, or here Benito is the other Girsa, right, that this hair, Milatachad Rabbi, Umilael. Where does your hair grow? When hair grows longer, does it grow from the roots? Right? Or does it grow from the top? I mean, it stays stable, but the ends of the hair expand and grow out. So, or wants to know, might not be mino. Why does it matter how your hair grows? Does it grow from the roots or outwards? The Nazir should go chul listim v'shayubo k'day l'kofet roshodi ikaro. So if he gets his hair cut, forcibly has his hair cut, but they leave over enough hair that you can turn one of the heads back into the roots. So that would be enough hair that he could do a tiglachat at the end of his Nazirut for. So now, if that's the case, meaning that we know that that's considered hair that's chashuv, not that there's any midah or anything special about the fact that he can tilt the hair back to the roots, except that we see in other halachic frameworks that that's considered a hair that is chashuv. Since his hair is chashuv, it's enough to allow him to shave his head with. Now, why does it make a difference? Why is it nafkamina? So that's what Gemara says. If it goes from the roots, nizirut kasha shakle. Right now, when the person takes the neder nizirut, right, he has a certain amount of hair on his head at that point in time. That hair becomes kadosh. So now, when the hair grows out, right, if it's growing from the roots, the part that the hair that he made kodesh is moving further and further away from his head. So now, when they cut his hair, they cut away the stuff that he made kodesh at the time of his neder, and then all what you're left with is panim kadoshot. You have the new hair that's come in. If it grows from the ends out, right, high chocolate, then what they cut was the new hair, the new stuff that's grown, right? And then what he has, right, the Akdish Hakayim. Then he cuts the ends of his hair, then that's the new hair that's grown. And the old hair that was there at the time he took the net there is still there. He has enough significant hair that was there at the time of the Kedushas HaNazir, or the taking on the net in his root. Therefore, he would be considered enough to cut his hair on, and he won't be okay his nizirut.
See, I would have looked the other way around.
Right, I agree with you. I agree 100% with what Shaul is saying, is that you would have thought that the Kedishas and Nazir is, from here going forward, my hair is cut off.
It's like doing darker, right? Because if it grew...
Right.
Yeah,
so here, right. Exactly. Very good, Joel. I agree with you. Right. It feels like that the push-up shot here should be the other way, which is that the hair growing, new hair growing, is what becomes kadosh, because that's, you took that to zero, to prospectively, that's going to become kadosh. But you see from this Gemara that our understanding of that is incorrect, that the the Ikar Nizirut refers to the hair that's there at the time you take the Neder Nizirut. That's the Ikar hair that becomes Kadosh. I think the one Raya you can bring to that is the case by the Nazir, right, with the Asham Nazir that he ate. Right, he says, never ate from a Asham Nazir, except for that one case by that. The young Nazir who saw his reflection in the water. And over there he says, what? He says, I'm going to cut my hair, this hair off, and make it Kadosh Hashem. So you see that his intent was the hair that he had then was going to be Kadosh Hashem. That one grew out later, but the hair that he had at that point was Kadosh. So I think that might be a riot to this, I'm not right, but obviously the Gemara believes this, but just a similar type of position, that the hair that you're making Kadosh is the hair at the time that you take the Neder Nizirut. So now the Gemara wants to know.
Hold on a second. I'm still understanding the nafkamina, because either way you still have an amount of hair that could be bent to its base.
Right, but would you have hair that was could be bent to its base that was extant at the time of the Neder Nizirut? Was it there at the time of Neder Nizirut?
Is it the Nazir Kodesh hair, or was that the hair that was removed?
No, it says Shegachulin v'shirubo kadei lachuf. V'shirubo kadei lachuf.
Yeah, but where they leave? They're leaving it close to your roots, right? Yeah. That's the place that they leave it. So now, the close to your roots, is that new hair? Or is that the hair that was there at the time that you took the Neder Nizirut? And that the possibility is, right, you took a Neder Nizirut, and then your hair is growing, the guy cuts off the ends, what's left was never there at the time of Nizirut.
Let's say they cut off a second after you take your Neder.
Alright, I mean, there's still, what the moment you take a Neder, you have all the hair on your head is Kadosh. And so it doesn't matter if they cut it off a second after, or they cut it off.
Exactly.
What? No, it depends which way you. Depends which way you're viewing. I mean, you're right. Okay, I'm sorry. If you say Milal, I understand your point. Your point is that if they cut it right that instant, then there is no nafkamina, right? It'd have to grow a little bit. I agree. Yes, the hair would have to grow to have a nafkamina between these two. Right. So now the Gemara wants to know. This is an interesting Gemara here. How they try to prove whether your hair grows from the roots or from the top. That's it. So this is Tashma. So let's bring a proof. In Vokhayo, you have a lice. Lice eggs that are abai, right? They're nits. The kayim bi'ikvo de binta. We know that they are found at the roots of the hair. If it's true that your hair grows from the roots up, meaning from the scalp outward, then they should eventually, these nits should be at the ends of your hair and not at the roots of your hair. So it's proof. The fact that these nits are always found at the roots of your hair indicates that your hair is growing from the top out and not from the bottom. So it says, no, the old mitaka. Now that's not a good proof. Now really, your hair grows from bottoms up, right? It goes from the bottoms up. But Rabbi, bagav chiyuto nochi bazel inbo. Right? But because the eggs are alive, meaning that they have a live louse in them, they crawl themselves back. They roll themselves back to the roots of the hair because they gain their sustenance. I think the Rosh says this, that they gain their sustenance from the being close to the scalp, the moisture and the oil that is close to the scalp. That's where they draw their sustenance. So they roll themselves back down to the roots of your hair. So even though your hair is possibly growing from the roots up, they still roll themselves back. So tashma inva meita. What about either a dead louse or a dead nit? Bereisha de binta, we always find them at the ends of the hair. When they're dead, they're at the ends of the hair. If you think that the hair grows from the top out, I mean, it doesn't grow from the roots, then Rabbi, for the binta by the makam, they should be still stationary at the roots of your hair. I mean, that if they are, while they're alive, at the roots of your hair, and then when they die, how do they get to the ends of your hair? The only way they can get to the ends of your hair is if your hair is growing from the scalp outward, from the roots outward. When it says, Hatanai, we shouldn't place Bechela, Sruge, Srige, Ba'azil. No. Anyway, maybe your hair does grow from the outward, from the top out, and not from the roots. Why are these nits now found at the end of your hair when they're dead? Because they lose it, when they lose their life. I mean, when they die, they no longer have the strength to hang on to the roots, and they roll down to the ends of the hair. They roll themselves off to the ends of the hair.
Do you think that those two answers are mutually exclusive?
Oh no, one's dead and one's alive, doesn't it?
We're saying no matter what.
I think the Gemara is saying it's inconclusive from this. That's right. What it is. Inconclusive.
Because you wouldn't have to say the other answer.
Right.
You can say, you can even say because of piercing, you just say because of gravity, you know, for the living ones also.
Right. No, but gravity is pulling it outwards, but they have it growing. They should have been. They're stuck. The alive ones are stuck near the roots, and the dead ones are near the ends of your hair. So in the opposite places. Wait. So Gemara wants to prove opposite things from each of these.
Right?
Yeah. So try and prove opposite things. And the Gemara just rejects each side by saying we could say the reason it ends up here is because of the other side. All right. Tashma. So now Gemara wants to bring a proof from a blorit dekushin. This is very interesting. From the haircut of the blorit. Blorit is found in the Gemara in a number of places. This blorit is a haircut that generally the kohanim of Avodah Zarah, the priests of Avodah Zarah, used to get. Now the haircut consisted of what seems to be you shaved your head around the sides, right? And you had a mop on top, and then you had I would consider it like a ponytail or some sort of a long hair that grew out of the middle of the back of your head. And that hair they used to braid, right? They used to braid it tightly into the head. So you have this shaved sides and then this hair, either a ponytail that comes out the back or some mop on the top of the head that's braided tightly into the hair. So now, once they get this special blow-reed haircut or work done, the batam gadin-lo, so after they get it all braided up, rapyam litachat, you see that the braiding weakens. Where does the braiding weaken? Right from the root side. So if you see that you have a braid of hair and the braid, they grow out this blow-reed, the braids stay tight on the outer edge, but yet they are loose. There's no braid when you get close to the scalp. So that means what? Must mean that the hair is growing from the scalp outward. Excuse me. Because the braids are only staying stationary at the ends of the hair and not at the roots of the hair. So Hadonami, it's a very interesting answer. Hadonami, I did the kamato hi mishikva, the rapio. So this is it. No, maybe the hair really is going from the ends out. Why are the braids found at the end of the hair? Because when he sleeps on it, he puts pressure on the braids, and he puts pressure on the braids to slide out to the end. And by sleeping on it, there is not, meaning that you, and Hakanami, the hair grows from the outside out, and the braids would stay tight towards the roots of the hair. But when you sleep on it, you cause pressure on the braid to move outward to the ends of the hair versus being at the roots of the hair. So from there we have no proof. Now the Gemara brings the final two proofs that are going to give us the answer. Tashma, Misikrita. Misikrita is the dye or paint they used to put on the animals when they were doing the meiser. When they used to do the meiser, the tenth animal that came out of the gate, they used to paint it with sikrita, but some sort of dye. So that sikrita, the rafi imra, the taka. So when you hit this paint or this marking on the animal, you see that what? That the hair gets stuck together. Right? The paint causes the hair to stick together. And as the hair grows out, you see that what? The part that's below the part that you painted is starting to be loose. It's no longer stuck together. Like Gemara says, Mitaka Vitanyo. And we have a Bryce or a Mishnah that supports that position. I mean, until now we've used logic. This we have a Bryce or a Tanan that also proves that point. Bit two. And another point, which is Minyona Dioma. Kad Sabe Sabia Dignahon Chivren, right? We know that when old people grow beards, right? And the older people, when they grow their beards get gray, right? So they color their beards black in order to have their to look younger. Right? Ikve, right? Ikve Nimhon. Right? There we know that when so we know when their hair grows. What? Chibon is white.
No, I know
that's me. Oh, sorry. So, Tukatavi Sibi Dikno, when they color their, I might have missed the word, I'm sorry, but they had their beards grow, they color their hair, their beards, white beards, black. When they grow out from the bottom, the roots are what turn white again. So, you know, if you color your hair, where did the first point where the non-coloration shows up, where does it show up that you start to go back to the core, natural color of your hair? At the root level. So Mar says, Shmamino, Takos Rabbi Shmamino. So it's clear from here is that the hair grows from the roots out and not from the tops out. Again, Tosus points out you could have said the same thing by the Imra, by the sheep. Also, when you paint the sheep's hair red, you see that the wool that goes out from the bottom, from the roots, are white. I mean, not only are they not stuck together, they're also white. They don't have the dye on them anymore.
Also, from the Imra, let's say you proved it from there. What are really proving is that sheep's hair.
Okay.
You can't prove that human hair works the same way.
Right. The Gemara's underlying assumption that they do work the same way, but I hear you. You could differentiate
it.
By two, but an additional proof. Very good. Say by the additional proof from a human that you see that when you do hair coloring, the hair coloring deteriorates or is lost once the hair starts to grow out from the roots up. All right. So there we go. So now we got through that issue. We know that hair grows from the bottoms up. Now, Bella. Hi, Tanya. Now we can do this. Price and Nozer shall give chulistim b'shar b'kerei lakufet roshali karo in a suter. Right now, why is that true? V'sakadat chamilitakat Rabbi. But if you think it grows from the roots up, listor, then it should be soaked there, right? If we said the nafkamina is that when it grows up from the roots out, that means when the listin come and cut your hair, you have no hair left that was expanded at the time you took the net in the root. Over here, we have a brisa that says when listin come and cut your hair, and they leave enough hair, the lakufit rosho, that that's not soaked there. That's exactly our nafkamina. Then when we say when it grows from the roots out, it should be soaked there. So why is the brisa the other way?
Why should it be soaked there again?
Well, why? Because there's no hair left that was there when you took the net in the zirut. Right, there's none of that hair that was there when you took the net of zirut is there anymore because the new hair grew in. It grew in from the roots up. And what they left you is new hair that grew after you took the net of zirut. So, other than Takad Rabbi, this door could go Shugilchu Achar Malos. Oh, now that's a possibility that they cut his hair after the Yom Malos. Umani Rabbi Elezer. This is like Rabbi Elezer. The Amar called Achar Malos. We had this Rabbi Elezer earlier in the Masechta, right? That. Anything that you had cut your hair after the completion of the Nizirut, Zayin Soter. It only uproots 7 days. My comment to Rabbi Elezer, Yelik Tiklachas Tara means Tiklachas Tuma. He learns cutting your hair or shaving your hair for Tara from the shaving of your hair for Tuma. My Tiklachas Tuma Shiva, just like the Tiklachas of cutting hair for Tuma is 7 days. After Tiklachas Tara Shiva, so too Tiklachas Tara is 7 days. Now just as an aside, the reason you need 7 days by Tiklachas Tuma is because you can't bring your carbonos till after 7 days. So Tosus points that out, that it's not really a really strong, you know, parallel here that just because you have to wait 7 days by Tuma, you have to wait 7 days by Tara. But nevertheless, the Gemara says that should be enough, right? That should be enough to show you. And we have this next line, which is Kimhu de Rabbanan. Because I am atomazik de la kufro shalikaro, that after 7 days, your hair, if it's totally shaved off, its heads can reach the roots again. So between those two, we have a conclusion that is enough. 7 days is enough. But not that. Not that limud is a limud gamrei, because learning from Tiklachas Tuma is not really about growing the hair, but more about the amount of time you have to your tara to bring the karbanot. Now, based on this, Rabbi Elezer, you're going to have different stages here. Rabbi Elezer believes that if you had your hair cut or something goes wrong on the Yom Malos, on the day that you finish itself, then you'll have to wait 30 days. And that might be our Mishnah, and that might be Rabbi Elezer's opinion we've seen other places, that if it happens on the day you finish, Yom Malos, then you have to wait 30 days, before. Before is that we saw in the Tosfos, the controversy about what happens when it happens before that point. You have to wait 30 days, or can you even have those 30 days waited with subsumed within your Nizirut, as long as you have 30 days left, right? So now, but if it's after Yom Malos, if it's after the day you finish, then, according to Rabbi Elezer, you only have to wait 7 days. And Rabbi Elezer will be the author of that Braisa, because the seven days you wait, right, to complete your tumor, or 7 days that you wait, it will be sufficient to cut your hair. So here, if they cut your hair, and there's still the kufit rosho left, that's equivalent of growing it out for 7 days after Malos in Israel. So you have, when they cut your hair off, and you have the kufit rosho left, that's equivalent of waiting 7 days. So that's why the Braisa says it's not soter. If they shaved everything off, then you'd have to wait 7 days in order to get the kufit rosho, and you can then go ahead and do your tahara.
The proof from, the proof for Rabbi Eliezer from the Tigmachas Atuma seems to be problematic because, I mean, yes, while you need a certain amount of hair to do your Tigmachas Atuma, but during the Kabbalahs for Tigmachas Atuma, and I'm assuming what that means is that when he brings the Kabbalahs, when does he do the Tigmachas Atuma? At the beginning of the seven or at the end of the seven?
The end of the seven.
So he needs that fresh hair, right? But on the other
hand, it says, Gilach Rosho B'yom Taharet, Ho B'yom Hashvi'i, Gilach Tano.
Okay.
So that's the end of this first part. Now, the next part. So this is what we discussed earlier, that Tosus and the Mephoresh disagree about what it meant to be Sifsuf. Does that mean plucking out of hair, or does that mean snipping the ends out of hair? Tar. Now, there are three ways to learn this Gemara. I'll tell you now. So now we'll start. We'll try to read it. I'll read it with the Mephoresh first, and then we'll go back and read it with the Rosh, and maybe the Tosos. Tarabano tar. Right, a razor. In the Ela tar. Right, because when it says over here that you're not allowed to, the restriction against cutting one's hair, it says, Kol yume neder nizro, as long as it's a nazir, tar, lo yavoro, rosho. So it sounds from the Pasuk that as long as he's a nazir, ta'ar lo yavar rosho. What does it mean, ta'ar lo yavar rosho? You can't cut your hair with a razor. Implicit in that is what anything else would not be problematic. It's only ta'ar that is restricted. Now, that's what this Bryce wants to know. Turn about a tar, only other tar. Only thing I know from the Pasuk is that you can't shave with a razor. Right, talosh, meirat, sifsev koshu minai. What about other forms of, cutting one's hair? So if you look in the Mefarish, what are these different types of things? Talosh is se'ar v'samuch l'basar. That he says that you cut your hair close to the roots, aval lo akro l'gamrei. You did not uproot it. Right, then what's mirto? Mirto is that you uprooted, you plucked a hair out. And sifsef is k'mosuf, what he explained in the Mishnah, which is that you gave it a trim, you cut the ends. And you cut the ends of the hair. So according to the Mefarish, the Gemara says, we have tar, I have a razor which cuts everything away, so that is restricted, that's clearly restricted in the puzzle. Now, Rabbi Yoshua wants to know, how do I know that I also include things such as a short haircut, right, or a trim, or even plucking a single hair out of your head? So the Gemara says, Talmud Lomar, what does the puzzle say? Kadoshiye gadol peres arosho. So that's the next part of the puzzle. Tar lo yavar rosho, velotim imashri azil Hashem. Then it says, so that there's a requirement that your hair remain kodesh and grow out, gadol pera, that it should grow out. So what do we have now? We have that it'll be a lotase. If you cut it with a razor, that will be a lotase. Right, if you cut it any other way, that will be an assay. You'll violate the assay of kadoshiye gadol perel. That will be your violate the assay. Snetz tamad tamagoshiye gadol perel sarosho dibre Rabbi Yoshua. That's where Rabbi Yoshua learns the puzzle. Rabbi Yonatan Omer, tar, and liyelo tar. I only know from the puzzle tar, which is a razor. Meirat, talash, sifsev koshu, potur. So Rabbi Yonatan says, you know what? Any of those items, if you cut, take a short haircut, you do a trim, or you pluck a hair, you're putzul the gamrei. Ba'aktiv. So what is he going to do with the second half of the pasuk? Kadoshiyeh lememra din gilech leim detar kaimalei ba'asei v'lo taseh. Ah, so kadoshiyeh is modifying the first half of the pasuk. What does it mean, kadoshiyeh gadel pereh? That is because tar lo yavar al rosho. Because he can't have a razor in his head, therefore his hair will grow out and be long, or he's required to grow out his hair and be long. So the way Rabbi Yonatan learns the pasuk, there's only one restriction, that's cutting your hair with a razor. And that restriction will be both an assay and a lotaseh. So now, the Gemara says, Kanyidach, we have another braisa. Tar, in the other tar, only have a razor. Polish, mirat, tisim, kosher, minayin, tamalomar, lo ya'abor, al rosho. So they don't learn it from the second half of Pasuk of Doshier, but rather they say tar, and then lo ya'abor, al rosho comes anything. Should not be mavi, al rosho. We are pasha, so fein, alor, both kotovar. So now, if you're going to include everything, then why the Pasuk mention the word tar at all? Why mention the word razor? If you're going to say, so just wait, lo ya'aver sar rosho, do not remove his hair. Why do you would put the word tar in the Pasuk at all? Matam la matar, lo ya'aver al rosho, lefish lo lamadu letiglachas ha'achrona shiyeh betar. How do you know that when a nazir becomes tahor, that he actually has to cut his hair with a razor? Because right, it says at the end of the Pasuk Yitzchet, it says, V'gilach ha-nazir petach o-moed rosh nizor. It says that he has to cut his hair at the end of his nizirut. And then he has to take the hair and place it under the el ha-shlamim, the zevach ha-shlamim. Where does it say you have to use a razor to cut his hair at the end of his nizirut? Right, so, l'lamdo mitzora, let's learn it out from mitzora. We know mitzora has to use a razor, which is not so simple that we know that a razor has to, but assuming that we know that a mitzora has to use a razor, let's learn it out from mitzora. The Gemara says, yashar, you can't do that. She ain't down in kabachomer, lahachmir, love. You can't down in the kabachomer. Mitzora is much more chamur than a nazir. Why? A mitzora has to cut all his hair off. A nazir only has to cut his head, the hair of his head off. So how could you learn from a mitzvah which requires a razor to a nazir that requires only the top of his head, only the hair of his head to be cut off? You can't learn it. You need a razor. So where do we learn it from? We learn it out from the word ta'ar. It says ta'ar, lo yavar lo yishav. Yeah, I mean that's the way Tosus learns it. What you're suggesting, Tosus says it's the last line of Tosus. We look on Lama Tetz on the base, the second to last line there. He says ve'emul in the yisur habara shabatok nizirut. If you don't need tar to teach you about why you're in the nizirut, you b'chol amarvirin laki, that will get makos from lotavor. You know, say I will show. Don't remove your hair. So now the Indian tiglakos the mitzvah tiglachenu shesof nizirut. Then you use it at the end, like Shaul suggesting that. But right, so that's the way you're going to learn. So we're going to learn the puzzle like this. So koyimain Yisrael mikol asher Yisrael, right? Koyimain eder Yisrael lo yavor al rosho. Meaning that you can't remove your hair. Ta'ar lo yavor. So that ta'ar has nothing to do with during a nizirut. That's the end of nizirut. You need a razor. Excuse me, to take it off. Right, and then kadoshia gadol pere. What are you going to do with the kadoshia gadol pere? You're going to have to say that what that is used for. A assay. Now that assay, what it applies to, is not clear from this brisa. Though that applies to, it sounds like from this brisa, it applies to everything. So both everything, any type of removable hair will be a lota assay and an assay. Now Rebbe says, Rebbe Omer ain't a tzarich. We don't need this. Harry Omer, tarlo yavoro rosho ad milos. The pasuk says you're not allowed to put a razor on your head until you finish counting. What's implicit in that? When you do finish counting, what do you put on your head? A razor. It says, Tar lo yavor rosho ad milos hayamim. Implicit at ad milos hayamim means that when you do finish your days, what do you put on your head? A razor. That's how you complete your nizirut, by putting a razor and cutting off your hair. A little bit tar. Somewhere it says, Ra'aktiv tar. What's he going to do with tar lo yavor rosho? He doesn't need that ad milos hayamim. Then what does he do with the word tar? Rosho lavor lavishne lavim. In order to violate... Excuse me, two lavim. If you cut with the razor, you'll violate both the isser of lo yavor al rosho, both the isser of not removing any hair, plus tar lo yavor al rosho. So you can read it both ways. See that you may not cut your hair during the nizirut, any way possible, you may not cut your hair. Plus, there's a second restriction of tar lo yavor al rosho, that you can't have a razor cut your hair during the nizirut. Therefore, if you cut with a razor, you violate two lavim. One lav of tar, and a second lav of lo yavor al rosho, that you're not removing your hair. How do we know about the razor at the end of your nizirut? That comes from Admelos. Right, therefore, the tar you can't put on your head comes on Mosei Yamim. At the end of your Nizirut, then you do have a tar. You don't have a tar through your Nizirut, but you do have it at the end of your Nizirut. All right?
And if it would have just said on Malos without tar, you wouldn't know what on Malos.
Oh, very good. So Tosus asks your question. Excellent. So Tosus goes through a Tzrichusa. This Tosus over here on the Memo Manal goes through a Tzrichusa. It shows you that the placement of tar also gives you both Limudim. Because if you wanted to say, if you really wanted to say just the tar at the end of Nezirut, you should say Lo Yabor Al Rosho Tar Ad Melos Yamim. You should put the tar close to the Melos Yamim. In fact, if you place the tar prior to Lo Yabor Al Rosho, allows you to learn both things out. Both the tar Lo Yabor Al Rosho, that is an Isser Lav of tar during the Nezirut, and Melos Yamim comes to teach you that there's an Isser Lav, there's a requirement of tar at the end of the Nezirut. That's what Tosa says, that you have its rechus of the placement of tar in the pasuk allows you to learn both things out.
So notice this Einot Tzarif.
Where in here?
That's the second line.
Oh, Einot Tzarif. You don't need this. We don't need the word tar to teach you. The word tar itself is not necessary to teach you that is at the end of Nezirut that you acquire a tar, because you use the word Ad Melos Hayamim. And then the placement of tar would make it more. So I think I hear what you're saying. It's not the word tar itself. You don't need tar. You don't need tar where it's placed in the pasuk. I think that's what you have to read. Enotzariach, that's what you have to say now. That's when it says enotzariach, that you shouldn't have had tar before the Yabor HaRosho. You could have had tar after HaRosho, because you do need the word tar to teach you, like you're saying, that you need a tar at the end. So I agree with that. You see it in the, if you want to read the Tosfos, goes through this, the whole three chusa and Mem Amid Aleph. Alright, so now that's according to the Mefarsh. That's where the Mefarsh lands. Now, we can learn, now the Rosh brings down two ways to learn this Gemara, two possibilities of learning this Gemara now, and Tosas uses one of them. So, we'll go through them in a different way. Next possibility of the learning the Gemara. Alright, I'll go through the way that Tosas learns. That's the second Gersa in the Rosh. You look in the Rosh on Lamatet on the base. Look at the Rosh, and Lamatet on the base. The Rush says 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines up from the bottom of the Rush. It says Inami. There's an Inami in the Rush. It might be highlighted for you guys. I don't know in the Rush. It's towards the way end of the Rush. It's probably like the last tenth of the Rush on the page. It says Inami. So it says Inami, ki be'ein tar modid alaki b'chol ha'ma'avirin. So that's it. Now, b'chol ha'ma'avirin means what? You're going to get malchus for anything that is considered removal, meaning that anything that's like a tar, anything that functions like a razor and removes the hair in its entirety, everybody agrees that you get malchus. If you did a cutting that is not a shchasa, a cutting that is not removal of the entire hair, meaning if you got a haircut, you got a trim, right? In all these instances, you haven't removed the hair in its entirety from the head. In those instances, that's my focus between Rabbi Yonatan and Rabbi Yoshua. And there's not enough left to be kofet back to the Rosh Hashanah. And that's where they argue about it. So based on that, everybody agrees that there's a lav for removing your hair entirely. There's only a question about if you didn't remove your hair like a tar, right, then you will get a malchus from that. Now what's the advantage, right? What's the advantage of learning this way? And the advantage of learning this way is, what do we do with the Tan of our Mishnah? Right? The Tan of our Mishnah says that what? The Tan of our Mishnah says that you get Malchus when you did it with Zug, with scissors, with Tar, with a razor, or Sifsei Koshu. Right? And what is Sifsei Koshu? So that's a question of what is Sifsei Koshu. If you say it's just a trim, but with scissors, you can't remove all your hair with scissors, right? Scissors by definition leave a certain amount of the hair left. So the fact that our Mishnah says, the time of our Mishnah says you get Malchus for cutting your hair, or possibly according to the Mefarish, of just trimming your hair, which Tana does he hold like over here? Right? If you go like the Mefarish's Pshat, Rabbi Yonatan says there's only an Ashay. There's only, outside of razor, there's only an Ashay involved. So how can you get Malchus? And Rabbi Yoshua says there's not even an Ashay involved for things that don't involve a razor. So by saying that what, the tar, when we use the term tar, it's a category and not limited to razor, then you can explain our, explain our Mishnah. Because then the tar of our Mishnah can be like Rabbi Yonatan. Why can the tar of our Mishnah be like Rabbi Yonatan? Because Rabbi Yonatan believes there's a lav for tar, anything similar to tar. Right, for a razor, anything similar to tar. So now, you can explain our Mishnah, that's why Tosos might explain it this way, to explain our Mishnah. What does he say our Mishnah talks about? It talks about a tar, a razor, zuk, scissors that he cuts so close to his head that he can't be kofeth, right, the Rosh HaLikaro, and what did he say sit safe was? He didn't say sit safe was trimming the ends. That's nothing like tar. He said sit safe is like plucking out a hair. Right, so if you pluck out a hair, that's very similar to a tar. That's the way a tar functions. A tar functions by removing the hair entirely from its root, right? Cutting it at the root level. So plucking it out would be the same. Therefore, our Tana of our Mishnah will be, or Rabbi Yonatan will be, like our Tana of our Mishnah. He could be the author of the Mishnah, because he says, where do you get a Malchus? You get malchus for tar, for razor, in anything similar to razor. Right? And that way, we can explain the Gemara according to this explanation of the Gemara, we can explain the Tana Bar Mishnah being like Rabbi Yonatan. Otherwise, according to the way the Mefarsh explains the Gemara, none of these options are really for our Tana. Our Tana holds like none of the options that the Gemara brings. Because the Gemara has no lav for anything besides tar, according to the way the Mefarsh explains it.
Only according to
Rabbi Yonatan. What? No, even according to Rabbi Yonatan, it's an asset. For the other Ma'avirin, it's an asay. According to the Mefarsh. I'm talking about, according to the Mefarsh.
If the other Ma'avirin, the other says...
That Tar is a lav. How do I know everything else? Kadoshia, Gadol Pera. That's an asay. Right? So that all the other requirements are under the mitzvah asay.
He says that if you use a Tar, you're over on an asay and a less asay.
Rabbi Yoshio. Right, so I'm saying, so you're right. According to the Mefarish, the Tana of our Mishnah cannot hold like any of the Tanaim, any of the options in our Gemara. According to the way we just learned in the Rosh, he can hold like Rabbi Yoshio. I'm sorry, it wasn't Rabbi Yonatan, it's Rabbi Yoshio. He can hold like Rabbi Yoshio, which says what? That's Rabbi Yoshio. Rabbi Yoshio said that tar, but the way the Rosh is saying tar is not limited to tar. It means tar, anything that looks like a tar. And since it's tar, anything that looks like a tar, you get a malchus for that. That's what Atana says. Atana says what? Says tar. Zug, scissors that you cut it so short, meaning really very short haircut, plus sheepshape. And the way Tosas explains sheepshape is not that you get a trim at the ends, but rather sheepshape is plucking the hair out, and that's like tar. So all those will be below. Then the Chol HaMa'avirin, like all the other options, then that'll be an asay. So that's what the Rosh, what you gain from learning the Gemara that way, is it?
What do you have to say that Rabbi Yoshi says that it hasn't been anything like that? Rabbi Yoshi learns it is just from Gadol Pera Sarah Shah.
Which means it's an asay. And our Mishnah says Chayat, he gets a lav. So that's the problem, right? The problem is that going to Mefarsh, you only have a Mishnah, you only have an asay here, you don't have a lav. Right. Okay, the third way to learn the Mishnah is if you go just up from where we were in the Rosh. And this is, Tosas mentions this type of thing, that the Rav Oshi and Rav Yonatan have extreme positions here. Tosas also brings this possibility down, that there's extreme positions in them. So if we look here, Nazir, if you look where it says, Nazir Shigilach, Ben Bezug, Ben Betar. It's about midway, about exactly the midway of the Rosh. About halfway up down in the Rosh, it says, Nazir Shigilach, Ben Bezug, Ben Betar. Right? You guys probably have that highlighted in the article. It might be highlighted, right?
It's not.
It's not, but you see it? Midway? Yeah. Okay. Midway. It's across from the Gemara Lo Yavor, where the Gemara says Lo Yavor Rosh. Alright. Nazir Shigilach, Ben Bezug, Ben Betar, Oshisikse Piyado. So that is, he takes, either he cuts with a scissor, cuts with a razor, or he pulls with his hair. They sear seharot, and he removes his hair, chayav. Right? Because the Perish be Gemara. Lo yavor, the rabot, kol ha-ma'avirin. Lo yavor means everything. Talash, meirat, o shifseif. And talash biyad, if he does it with his hand. Meirat, bisam, he does it with some sort of chemical. Shifseif biyad, or he calls it, devira seyar, tamadomar, kadoshia gadol peret. Kadoshia Gadol Peret means that he only includes these other items by Kadoshia Gadol Peret. So the way the Rosh is going now, this first lav includes Zug, Tar, and Sifseif, which is all the things listed in our Mishnah. So the way Rav Oshi is learning, right, is that the lav of Tar Lo Yavor Al Rosho includes everything that is a Zug, Tar, and Sifseif, and he removes all of his hair. Sir Sarot, when he clears out all his hair, whether it's through a scissor, Tar, or a Sifseif, then he's Chayav. Talash Meitu Sifseif, he only does these other items, it's not. Then, Tamar Kadoshia Gadol Peresh, of all mitzvot asay, should see our Kadol, the Kadol Serav Loya Biro, the Memra. Tachi Gielach Le Bitar, Kaimale Basay, Melotase. That what? When he shaves off his head, there's an asay and lotase. But Shar Netilat Seyar, Afilus Asay Ainbo, but other types of tear are taken off the hair, there's not even an asay. Umras Nisan, de Mechaiva Malkus, Lecholam Avirim, de Lokachad Mehanitznai. That one who says that all you get a mitzvah alav for all the ma'avirin is like neither of these tanoim. Rabbi Oshia, according to Rabbi Oshia, asehu the ika b'shar marvim, or Rabbi Yonatan afilu say leka. And according to Rabbi Yonatan, there's not even an aseh. So the way the Rosh reads this, it's similar to the Mefarish, but you have extreme position here, which is that Rabbi Yonatan believes that nothing besides tar has any restriction. There's no lav and no aseh for anything besides tar. And that's Rabbi Yonatan. Rabbi Oshia believes that that only for Kippur you get an assay of lo tasei, and everything else is just under the assay, which is very similar to what the first learned. In that case, you end up with a problem that these prices nobody like our author of the Mishnah. And that's why the Rosh brings down the Inami. The Inami is to show you that here to create a case where we have some one of these Tanoim that follows or gives us a position that we can understand the Tano of our Mishnah. Alright, we'll stop here. Stop here and continue the Mishnah.